Okay, let's. I mean, last week we discussed the idea of Avtar HaKamocha and Kinah, and this beautiful Ramban, where he developed the idea that the more a person removes Kinah and jealousy from their hearts, and as Rav Hoffman said, the more you deal with reality, the more you deal with this is the Metzias, this is what this person has. You don't have that. Okay, it's time that, then you'll be a much happier person. You'll be able to have Avtar HaKamocha. This is all predicated on the question that I actually forgot to go through last week, which was the foundation of this whole discussion. I skipped that page by accident. But the question was as follows: how can we alleviate issues of kinah amongst children? So he's, the questioner gives an example. This is the question from her classroom. In her class, there are children who are physically handicapped, and it's on page 233. And in the middle of the winter, she began to work on toilet training with some of the children. And there were two children who, just based on their physical situations, their handicap, were not shy for toilet training. They were not able to be at that stage. And she would read with them and she would explain to them, right now you can't do it, you're not at that situation, but Bezras Hashem, you know, with the help of the medicine, the doctors, and physical therapy, maybe you'll be able to get to that stage, be able to toilet train. And she started to work with the other children with, on their rehabilitation. And in the next month after this, so the kids were not at that stage, were able to be in their rehabilitation, and it began terrible behavior problems. These kids who were not at that stage to work on this began with terrible behavior problems. And so I started to work on a behavior modification with them. So they started, like, and the kids would rip things off the wall, and kids, they were part of other kids' projects, and these kids who were having struggling would rip down their projects, and they would say that that they were jealous of these children, and that's why they're behaving this way. And the question was, how is it that I'm able to help a child who is pained by jealousy? It's obvious. These kids have something I don't have. How can I help them deal with the pain and the difficulty of jealousy? That's the basis of the question. We learned the Ramban last week. Let's begin now on page 240 for those who are following along. But let's see what he says over here. He says, when we want to help children in this situation, we have to understand that jealousy is a natural feeling that cannot be fought. Jealousy will always be there. Every single healthy human being will have feelings of jealousy. The question is, we're going to have to discuss, is how do you manage that feeling? It's a metzias that's there all the time. So what can we do? What we can do, he says, is to lessen the pain of kinah. Kinah will always be there. It's a midah that's always going to crop up in people. But what you can do is teach them lahashlem im hametzias. That's the Hebrew, which is to deal with reality and to come to the place to understand that this is the way things are, and they should be able to convey the terms with it and how to understand and how to relate to it and manage that feeling of jealousy. So he says, let's talk about little children. He says, a baby's born, and what do you have with the older siblings? Immediately, jealousy, right? This one's being held by mommy, and they get a bottle, and they get all this attention. And the older sibling, you know, is distraught that he used to be mommy's favorite, and now, you know, he's on the back burner. And he can't be with us. This is something that, you know, I think we're familiar with in different stages of our life. We've all been there at some point. You can't force the older child to love the younger sibling if he's jealous of them. You're not going to force that 2-year-old, that 3-year-old, that 7-year-old to all of a sudden love that little, you know, snot who, like, you know, took his seat and, like, you know, ruined everything for him. You can't force them in that situation if he has feelings of jealousy. And this is what the Ramban is saying, right? Because you can't have Hatrei HaKamocha if there's kinah. I can't love you if I have the pain of jealousy inside. So what you have to do is you have to talk with the child and put them in a situation. And he says you have to speak to them and show them, you know, I feed the baby, but you're a big boy, you're a big girl. I don't have to feed you. You can take a spoon on your own. You can take food on your own. You know, you're a big boy. You know how to use the bathroom. I don't have to change your diaper. You're a big boy. You can go by yourself and you can go downstairs by yourself. You don't have to be carried. You are different. And he says that you explain to the child who's jealous that you have abilities and you have certain things that the other one doesn't have. Everyone is different. And you begin to slowly talk with them and to open them up to the reality that this is what this child needs. This child cannot be, you know, can't take care of their own diaper, can't get food by themselves, can't be helped, and you are different. You have different needs and you have different abilities that the other child doesn't have. And it says, if you'll say, you know, you're going to ask them, oh, do you also want a bottle, right? Should I, you know, hold your hand when you have to walk down the stairs? So they'll say, the kid will say, oh yeah, I want you to do that too, because the kid now wants to be like a baby, right? Like I want to take my pacifier back, right? I want to be held by mommy. And the kid will say all these things. And if he wants to be a baby, then you'll be treated that way. Then you'll tell them, that's fine. You know, then you have to start wearing a diaper again, and you have to, you know, have to feed with the spoon. And the kid will see that, well, I don't know, I you can't like pick and choose. You can't like pick and choose when you want to be a baby, you don't want to be a baby. If you're going to be a baby, you got to buy in. And if you don't want to be, if you want to be a big boy, big girl, then you got to buy in that way as well. And that's how you try to slowly over time. He says, Rabbi Hoffman says, when it comes to a child with jealousy, it's not going to be like one conversation, like we had like a heart-to-heart, we had like a whole, like, you know, schmooze here, and I read Rabbi Hoffman safer, you know, it has to be like this and this, and the kid's going to flip the next time. That's not what's going to happen. These are quiet conversations that you repeat again and again. And the child is suffering from jealousy of other siblings, other students, you repeat again. Okay, this child has this, but you have other things that you're capable of. You have other skills, you have other talents, you have other things about you that make you different and special as well. And this is the concept he talks about of being shoni, being different. Understanding differences is how we lessen the pain of jealousy. That's Rabbi Hoffman's key thing here, understanding that things are different and coming to terms with the reality there are differences between different people, and that will lessen the pain. And it leads to an understanding, he says, of a new metzias, with a new reality. This is your reality. This is the way things are right now. You have to learn how to cope with that pain. And he talks about the idea of advantages and disadvantages. Yisron mul chisaron. And he says, by coming to terms with the reality and the advantages and different disadvantages of other people, and by talking about it, it will lessen that pain. But again, he says, it will not make the pain go away. We're on page 242. It won't make the pain go away. So he tells, they asked a question. That's fine if you have like the gap is a 5-year-old and a baby. Fine. The 5-year-old can get it. Let's say the gap is 10 months. Let's say a baby is like, you know, back to back. So, you know, the 2-year-old now, the almost 2-year-old is not gonna, you know, what 2-year, 1.5-year-old is not gonna hop this conversation. So Hoffman said, you can show it through the koach of differences, the way they are treated, the way they act, the way they do things. Again, they're able to come to that tefisa, that understanding of that shoni of those differences. So then he makes the following point. He says, even a 1-year-old can understand, even though they can't talk. He says, your 1-year-old's not tippish. Like he can understand there are differences between him and the baby. He says, you're being machshiv him, but the baby has needs, right? I can be machshiv that this person is important, this person is valued, but also this individual, and we can expand it out not just to babies. This child needs attention as well. He has certain things. You might have this sometimes as well. We'll just expand on what Rabbi Hoffman is saying. Sometimes you have a child who's struggling, kids struggling in school, kids struggling at home, and they need more attention. They need more attention. They need more time at homework. They need to have certain things maybe other kids can't have, whatever it may be. And they'll say, well, you're spending, you know, 2 hours on homework this one. I also need help. Okay, but you're able to cope with it on your own. You can do that work on your own. And this one needs more attention. So that's also a place where jealousy can creep up. Or a kid is struggling religiously. So maybe you'll do extra things for that kid. You know, and you'll take them out somewhere. And they need an extra little TLC because they're struggling in their relationship with Emunah and Avodas Hashem and things like that. So you can tell the child, you can tell the other siblings, this child is having trouble. They need something extra. You're comfortable in your davening. You're comfortable in your Avodas Hashem. And this one is struggling. Therefore, they need this extra thing. And again, by repeating those differences and saying, but you have values, you have kochos, you have things about you that are wonderful and great. And this one has their other things as well. By explaining again, we're not going to take care of jealousy. We're not going to remove it, says Rabbi Hoffman, but we can mitigate the pain that comes along with jealousy. They can understand that you have certain things that the other one can't do. So again, he goes back to that question about the children who were, he says that's regarding a child who has the intelligence to hap these things. But let's say a child who is mentally disabled, mentally struggling, how can they hap these things? He says, again, you can highlight, you can focus in and highlight on those differences in a positive way as well. He says, show the child what they can do and what the others can't do. You have these abilities. This one doesn't have those abilities. He says, this is the kli of how we help these children by being mashed in the metzias, by showing them coming to terms with reality. He says, the ikker thing is that they should feel valued. When you have a child who has a sense of jealousy versus other children, the ikker thing is they should be valued for who they are. And that's the best thing you can do. And again, he really is hitting this point home again and again. You're not going to stop jealousy. It's always going to be there, but it's about managing the pain that comes that children have as well. And he says over here that he develops through the idea of showing value and letting them feel valued. He says that kids want more. He says something fascinating here. He says, look at little kids. He says, kids want more of a treat or a gift because it makes them feel more chashuv. He says, if I have two lollipops and one is literally 3 millimeters larger than the other one, and I give the 3 millimeter larger lollipop to one kid or the other, what's the kid who gets the slightly smaller one going to feel?
And you love the other one.
The other one more, right? They're going to feel jealous, right? Now, it's not like, it's like literally like two extra calories of sugar? Like is that what's going on over here? It's such a small difference. He says it makes them feel more chashuv. I feel more chashuv because I got a little bit more. I think we've all experienced it in some form, right? You're giving out grape juice, right, on Shabbos, right? And the kids are like measuring, like, to that. I feel that's why they have these notches in these plastic cups, right? So your kids can call you out. Not the third notch. They got the second notch, and I was at World War III at the Shabbos table because this one got over here, right? So again, it's annoying, but it says Rabbi Hoffman, we have to understand, because the one who gets a little bit more, it makes them feel more chashuv. I feel more chashuv than the other one, and the one who gets less, they feel less chashuv. And what comes with feeling more chashuv means that you love me more. It's a three-step process. It's not that you gave me to the second line, he gets to the first line, therefore you love him or me more. It's that you gave to this more, therefore I am more chashuv, and therefore you love me more, you love me less. He says that's the mechanics that's going on with the kid, that they feel more chashuv, and because they feel more chashuv, because of that little, slightly smaller, you know, lollipop or grape juice, whatever it is, it makes them have that sense of feeling of being more loved or less loved. And he says this also impacts the idea of who's giving the item as well. He said, let's put it this way. He's talking to Rav Yashuv in his time. He said, let's say you have two yeshivish kids in Yerushalayim. One gets a lollipop and it's bigger. The other one gets a small lollipop, but Rav Yashuv gave him the small lollipop. Who's gonna be happier? The one who got the small lollipop from Rav Yashuv, right? That's of course they're gonna feel better. Why? Because it's the chashivas of who gave it. Who gave it also has a big impact in that sense of kina vis-a-vis the other person as well. And he brings
the fact that the one that got more for Gaiva, is that affecting the kina?
The kina? Then, I don't know. Again, he's focusing now on the one who feels less than. He's not focusing more on the one who feels there's more than. He's on focusing on the one who has less than.
No, but he's caused the
because one, to have Gaiva. Okay.
Does he cause the fact that
the one's going to have more Gaiva? Oh. Maybe it could be a part of it as well. Again, we're never going to solve it, but we want to teach the children how to handle it. So he says, what's his proof that who gives it will also impact how chashuv you feel? So that's the Gemara in Kedushin. Right? The Gemara says that b'derech klal, when a man is mekadosh a woman, he has to give something to her, right? It has to be a sheva pruta. That's what the Gemara says. And when she's mekabel, that's sheva pruta from the man, so then she's mekudeshes, they're married, or they're, you know, half married. So what's the halacha if a person who's very chashuv, a very, very distinguished person, receives a gift from the woman? The woman gives a very chashuv gift to a very distinguished individual. So what does the Gemara say? So the Gemara says that mekudeshes. It could be kedushin. Why? Because she has a sense of value that she gave something to somebody important. It makes them feel chashen about themselves. The reason is because that hana that she gets, that a person, a very chashen person, agreed to take her gift, is valued at a shefer pruta. And that's the nature of people. And that's how we think. This feeling is that somebody accepted something very chashuv, that is a symbol of their love, of the value that they have for me as well. So again, reception of something, the giving of something, the jealousy of presence back and forth are all intermixed and intertwined with how I feel valued and how I feel loved. They're all part of one complicated ball of yarn. And therefore he says,
what's the answer to the sage-old question?
Of what?
How to deal with the kids, with the cups.
With the cups. So, I guess the answer was probably...
We used to measure.
You do it as close as you can.
We used to do it as close as
possible. And then you say, but you'll say, you know, okay, but you'll have, you know, you'll get a bigger piece of chicken. You'll get more, meaning...
You'd be a better pourer of water.
Even when it's exactly even, the eyes see.
Of course, they see.
More,
it's like they have micrometers. They're like.
I used to weigh. We have a little scale. It's
nuts.
We
have
like
you gotta get one of those pouring things.
I never had that issue.
But maybe the better answer is like this: to say, okay, you got a bigger of this. But this one has Rabbi Yashav giving.
Exactly.
Like,
meaning,
like, you're showing things you're on that always
yes.
equal in the same dimension.
So come to certain, the reality is
or
that.
Or just tell straight up, I love him better than you.
So,
I hate you all equally.
So they you come to terms of the reality. We teach the child.
I do that in class, I do. Kids said, how can we get a bigger thing?
You're teaching the child. To come to terms with the reality.
Oh, it's on record. I never said that.
Sorry. We're all good.
He's a rabbi.
Yeah. The,
that was the way Rai's speaking.
You teach them to come to terms with the reality. That's what it is. Okay. Sometimes this one gets more. And next Shabbos still get more. You know, that's, again, dealing with...
No kid understands that.
So, but yeah, so he said it's not going to happen. Rabbi Hoffman said it's not going to happen in one schmooze. It's a repeated process again and again. Okay, next week you'll get more.
I said before we were talking about this morning about fairness.
Yeah.
The idea of
Zello fair. That's not fair. Zello fair. This is, you have to come
it's
to terms.
It's an American thing.
It's an American thing.
Fear doesn't mean equal. Fear means what's proper for you.
Okay. And this kid, I was a heavy pourer. I was a heavy pourer.
Nothing to do with politics. It's to do with teaching second graders or first graders or kindergarten kids.
Good.
Not both graders.
So he says over here regarding these students, you know, halit their milos over others, you know, value their accomplishments in other areas as well. And all these things that go into the process as well. Then he goes and talks about how the kid's acting out. What do you do? You know, the kid's acting out because of jealousy. You know, am I supposed to sit? One kid, you know, slaps the other kid because they're jealous. Well, I'm just supposed to sit down and have like a whole, like, you know, 2-hour schmooze, bring out the Ramban, bring out the Chakamocha. Like, what am I supposed to do in this situation? So he said, you can tell the kid, stop. You don't have to, like, you don't have to let the kid beat up the other kid because it's jealous. You'd stop him. Like, you know, you don't rip down the kid's project. You don't knock over his sandcastle. You should stop the kid. But going back to one of our primary yesodos, Rabbi Hoffman, stopping a child from doing something is not chinuch, right? That is this this Rashi in Maseches Nazir and Daf Choches. Stopping a child from doing something is not chinuch. Chinuch is in asay, mitzvahs asay, telling him how to act, not how not to act. You have to, after you stop the kid from doing something, the ikar chinuch, he says, is that emotional connection, empowering him emotionally, you know, mayim, kamayim, panim, lamayim, you know, face to face, relating to them, building them up, giving that positive feeling. That's where the chinuch is going to take place. When your kid is jealous of the other sibling and they rip down their project from the fridge because that one got an A+ and they got a C and therefore they're jealous of their project on the fridge, telling them you can't rip down your sibling's project is not dealing with kinnah. That's just making sure your house doesn't, you know, dissolve into World War III. Afterwards, then that's where chinuch kicks in. Talking about differences and what the kochos of this child are, making them feel valued and having them alleviate that pain of their kinnah as well. the better the emotional connection with the child, the less jealousy, says Joey Hoffman. The better a parent or a teacher has an emotional connection with the child, there will be less kinna. That's what he says. And you're able to relate to them, to make them feel valued, to make them feel cared for. And I think it's 100% true. The children who are often complaining the most and pushing the most and finding those, they will tell you when push comes to shove, they feel that it's not fair. This one gets, mommy doesn't spend time with me, daddy doesn't time with me. They're feeling a lack in the emotional connection. And whether the reality is the case, it could be, again, it could be that you have a clock and you spent 35 minutes with this one and you spent 30 minutes with this one, and mommy's down to the second and you spend the same amount of time. But they feel that the 35 minutes was not whatever it was, so they feel that there was not an emotional connection. And the jealousy is stemming from that the teacher or the parent, whoever it may be, is not tapping in to that emotional connection. So he says the ikker thing is the yachas, the connection. And we discussed this idea as well. He said, he just here as a side point, he says, the parents will want to know which is the best preschool to send the kids to, right? I'm not going to name my names over here, but you know what? Which is the best preschool to send the kids to? So Hoffman says, the mora, the ganenet, that shows the most love towards the children is better. This one does Aleph Bay's better, ABC's better, or teaches them about how to be a policeman, fireman, whatever is better, fine. But the one who has the best emotional connection with the children is the best place to send the preschooler for gan, because that's going to have the best thing for the to open the child up. So just in the last piece over here.
Is that only for preschooler? That's
what we said. No, we said for sure. He said this in the past. He says, who's the best Rebbe for your son? Not the best Magid Shir. The best Rebbe for the son in yeshiva is the Rebbe who's going to be, who's going to, he quotes a Tosos. I forgot what the Tosos is. Who's Masbir Panilo, who shines at him, who makes him feel uplifted, makes him feel geshmak, who makes him feel good. That's the best Rebbe for your son.
More geshmak or Rebbe? Or are you saying the more?
Not necessarily. The one who relates to your son the best. The one who's gonna show him love, who's gonna show him care, who's gonna, you know, open up his personality. That's the best Rebbe. Not the one who's the biggest Talmid Chacham, but the one who's gonna, you know,
the one sitting by his desk.
Exactly.
And the problem is usually the ones that have better name are not the schools that have the best outcome.
Okay.
Okay.
He's promoting his. We can't solve all the problems right now. So in the last piece over here, he says, what do I do? The girl, 4-year-old girl, is biting her sister. Biting is sometimes a problem. He says, what do you do about biting? So he said, obviously, you got to stop dangerous behavior. You got to step in. There's no biting. It's not okay. You know, that's not okay. But again, stopping biting is not chinuch. Stopping biting is making sure you don't have to go to the doctor to put in stitches. That's what it is. That's not chinuch, though. So he says that you have to work with the child, and you have to explain to them. And he actually brings a beautiful idea in Hashkafa here. He says, let's talk about biting. He says the word ochel is what? It's mu'uchelis, or kilayon, which means to destroy something, to consume. Ochel comes from Eish ochla, right? The word ochel means to consume something, to destroy something. He says this child who is biting and using their mouth in that way, there is a feeling of destruction, of consuming. There's some sort of angst and aggression over there. And they're using that sense of biting in the mouth to manifest that aggression. And through that, they're giving their asipuk to the Yetzer through the aggression they have inside. And that becomes the symbolism of something else. And therefore, this is the topic of tikkun hayetzer, which we've discussed in the past, which is taking a person's desires and having a positive place that they can channel that yetzer. So you have to manage the child's aggression. And he says over here, you have to understand that biting is a primitive thing. To bite, to attack someone, is a primitive. It's something that babies do. This is a 4-year-old who's biting. There's something not right. Okay, you understand a 1-year-old, what? Mike Tyson. Okay, I think, good. I think we can agree. Something is not right. So he said, okay, a 1-year-old, 2-year-old who bites, okay, they're immature, they know what they're doing. A 4-year-old who's still biting, there's something wrong. Something needs to be dealt with. Deal with aggression, have a positive outlook, you know, whether they're chewing gum or something else, you know, you have to manifest it in a positive way and deal with the aggression in a healthy way as well. So they ask another question over here. How can you lessen this? Oh, so they say, how do you lessen this use of the mouth then? So Rav Hoffman said, you know, you have to give a better outlet without that, to that aggression as well. Whether it's, you know, karate, punching a pillow, I don't know. The kid has a four-year-old who's biting is an aggressive child. Kuli amalo pligi, there's an aggression that's not being dealt with. So have a healthy place to use that aggression. Bike riding, sports, and have them a place to put it so they're not biting other children and causing harm. He says that, games are a great place to do, great place to do this. Games are a great place to work psychologically with children and to help them work these things. Painting as well, art, all these things are important things that can help them work on their aggression and to highlight what could be going on inside, help them manage those different things. Okay, fine. We'll stop there.